Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Okay, so we're taking a look at Romans 12:9-17, and it reads, marks of the true Christian. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all.
Thank you, Helen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time, that as we come before you to hear from you, we welcome your Holy Spirit into this place. And we ask, Father, attune our minds and our hearts to hear from you this morning. Whatever we've gone through throughout this week, Father, we're here to hear from you. And so may you speak to us, each and every one of us, wherever we are on this journey, Lord God, may you meet us. May you speak to us this morning in Jesus' mighty and wonderful name. Amen. For those who don't know, we're going through a series at the moment called We Are, right? We Are. And so we've been looking at our values as a church. And so over the past couple of weeks, we started off with We Are Discipleship, right? And so we were looking at what it means to be a disciple, what it means to, what does discipleship mean? And so we found that as a disciple, there are three things that we're called to do as a disciple. Anyone remember those three things again? Fish, follow, fellowship, yes. So we fish for the lost. We fellowship with other believers, you know, gatherings like this. And we follow Jesus together. Okay, and then last week we looked at the value of outreach, okay, outreach, where we've been called by God to go beyond ourselves. We're called by God to reach out to someone and with the good news of the gospel, right? And so Jesus gave us this example. We looked at the story of when Jesus, when he called Levi or Matthew, the tax collector. And so we saw that Jesus went out. Jesus saw, Jesus ate, and Jesus answered questions. And so a disciple follows the example of Jesus. And so this week, we're going to be looking at our next value, which is family. Everyone say family.
Family.
Yes. Look around. If you've got your family here, look at them, smile at them. Yeah. Say, it's good to have you here. So this is how we describe our value of family. Okay. We will not place our families and marriages on the altar of ministry. We also see the church as a spiritual family, a community of faith that Jesus laid his life down for because he loved us so much. That's how we see family. And so I hope that you see there's two aspects of family that we're seeing here, right? There's the natural or the biological family. But then there's also the spiritual family as well, right? You see those two aspects that we and both of these are important to us. They're important to us here in Every Nation Logan because both are connected. Both are connected and both feed into each other to build biblical community, to build spiritual family. And so when we have healthy families, natural families, and we have a healthy spiritual family, right? This is a place where thriving and growing can happen in a good way, where both sides benefit, where both sides are able to feed into each other. Does this make sense? Yes. Yeah, I was talking with someone earlier this week, and we got talking about family. And I was asking them, you know, what's it like? What's it like to come to a new place like Australia? And, what are some of the challenges that you found in coming to Australia? Because this person comes from a Pacific Island nation. And so I was asking him this. And you know what they said? They said the challenges for them was loneliness and belonging. Loneliness and belonging. And then he went on to share a little bit about what his life was like back where he came from. A small, tight-knit village community family where everyone did everything together. And then when he came to Australia, it was like the volume had been turned up to max. Because life here in Australia is very different to how life was for him back where he came from. I was born in Western Samoa. My parents moved to Wellington, New Zealand, when I was, I think, around 3 or 4 years old. And they moved there to give us kids. It was me and my sister at the time. They moved there to give us kids a better way of life, better opportunities, right? That was their priority. That was what they saw as most important to them. And so my parents, they sacrificed their family relationships. They sacrificed their family relationships with their parents, with their siblings, with their friends. You know, the community that they had already been established in, they sacrificed that in order to come to a place, to take us to a place where we as children could thrive and grow up in New Zealand, in Wellington, New Zealand. Looking around this room here today, I probably think maybe 97, 98% of us immigrated from other countries, right? Most of us are not born here, right? I think the only one born here is probably Steph, right? And so everyone else, we migrated here. We came from other places, right? Because we came for better opportunities. We came for a better life. After spending most of my time in Wellington, New Zealand, I met this really hot woman. Yeah, of course, man. And then she wanted to marry me. And so, like, we got married, right? We got married. And then in 2005, okay, focus. 2005, we moved over here to Brisbane. We moved over here. Our initial move to Brisbane was to be part of a church plant team. So we came here to start a church. And so for us, even in that move for us, we sacrificed our families. We prioritized what God had called us to come and do over here. So we sacrificed relationships with our parents, with our friends, with the people, our work colleagues, our siblings. You know, those comforts that we had built over that time, but we came over here because when God has called us over here. You know, in those moments of moving and starting again, you know, there were times that we did feel lonely. I personally felt lonely because it's hard starting up in a new place, right? New people, like you don't know anyone. And so you're like starting from scratch again. You're starting from, you know, oh, hi, my name's Henry, right? Yeah, those awkward starting points. You know those awkward starting ones? Those, should I go say hi? Should I not? No, don't look at them. Don't look at them. They might think that I'm talking to them. Stop it, right? And so it's those. It's sort of trying to, you know, navigate through that uncomfortableness, that awkwardness of starting something new again. And so I got an idea. I had an idea of what it would be like to, you know, in terms of that loneliness, starting out something new, starting out in a new place. And so building new relationships with spiritual family can be a challenging place for many as well, right? Because we maybe just want to, I just want to come here, I just want to hear the word of God, and then I want to sneak out before anyone comes and talks to me, right? But if we understand the value of, you know, building with spiritual family, of building with people that we don't normally build with, that we may not normally talk with, there's great value in talking with them. There's great things that we can learn from each other, right? One of the main things that I learned from our Filipino family, they just like us, they love family, they love community, they love gathering together, especially over food. So whether it's an islander thing, you know, food is good, right? It's good to be getting together with family, right? And getting a thumbs up over there from Marius, food is good. Food is good. And so I want us to keep this in mind. I want us to keep this in mind as we go through our message today. These two family aspects, right? Our biological family, our natural family, and our spiritual family. Because both are important. And we need both to be able to build and strengthen each other. Strengthen each other. And so, remember this question here that we spoke of at the beginning. Describe what family means in 3 to 5 word or phrase, right? Just a show of hands. Who here, when they shared it with the person there, had the same thing? Anyone had exactly the same thing as the person that they shared it with? Nah, that's right. And everyone else had something different, right? It was good. And I think, like I was sharing with some of the sisters over here, and I loved her, she said, family is where the heart is. Is that right? Family is where the heart is, right? And so it's the sense of, you know, in family, there's this safety. There's this sense of, you know, that's where she belongs, right? That's the importance of family to her. And I guess all of us will have different perspectives, different experiences of what family is like for us, right? And I think the thing that I want us to get from that is that we're all different. We'll all have different experiences. And so being able to appreciate and understand someone else's different experience of family, I think that's the beauty of us being, of God calling us together into community, because we're made up of different, we're made up of, and we see the world differently. We walk differently, we dress differently, we talk differently. And so God has brought us together to be able to appreciate one another in that sense. Does that make sense? When I was growing up as a teenager, there were so many different TV shows about families that shaped my view of family, right? Anyone, okay? Anyone remember some of these, right? The Cosby Show, anyone remember Cosby Show? Like Family Ties, Neighbors, right? Different Strokes, right? Who watched Different Strokes? It's probably only the older people around here. Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. Yeah, don't be ashamed, man. Don't be shy. Just, yes, Different Strokes, man. Come on. Does anyone remember that one in the top left-hand corner? Happy Days. Sunday, Monday, Happy Days, right? Happy Days. These were some of the programs that shaped and formed me. Some of the young ones are like, what the world are those programs? Google it. They're still on there, okay? You might think, oh, dry. But Google it. Have a look at these, okay? I don't know if they'll be very educational, but yeah. These were some of the programs that shaped and formed my view of what family could look like, because they had laughter, they had tears, they had lessons, and they even had dramas in all of them, right? Now, if you think of a TV series and how it's structured, right? They start off with like introducing like a problem or an issue, right? And so within that 30 or 60 minute segment, they unpack that a bit more, right? And so it's funny, like as you're watching it, you always knew, oh, it's gonna end up in a happy ending, right? Because it's a TV series, right? They're gonna end up, you know, really a happy ending most of the time. One of my personal favorites was Who's the Boss, right? Who's the Boss? Any other Who's the Boss? Dorothy's a Who's the Boss fan. Any other Who's the Boss fan? I know Siossi's a Who's the Boss fan. Okay, but Who's the Boss? And so this show was centered around this character, this guy in the middle there, Tony Michelli. And he's a former professional baseball player from Brooklyn, New York. And so he takes his job as a housekeeper. He takes his job as a housekeeper for this successful advertising executive. And that's the blonde lady there, Angela Bauer. And so The whole idea of him taking this job is so that he can give a better life for his daughter. That's his daughter there in the blue. But then as part of this family, there's also Angela's son. His name is Jonathan. And then the other lady there, she's this quirky but lovable lady named Mona, right? And so I remember one particular series that they showed, and it was about this. Jonathan was he was being bullied in school. And so he hid it from his family. He didn't tell his mom or his grandma, but he told Samantha. And she was like, oh, hell nah, nobody's bullying my boy, right? She was like ready to go and lay the smack down on someone. And Jonathan's like, whoa, 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 calm down. Let's not get violent, right? But how many of us would want to lay the smack down on anybody that would bully or want to hurt someone that we love, right? You know, I'm sure many of us would want to respond in that way. But can I ask us a question? What would that say about your family culture if we responded in that way? What if I put it like this? What would that say about your Christian culture if we went and laid the smack down on someone? Right? The truth is, we can't. We're different. God calls us to be different. If we call ourselves disciples of Jesus, then there should be some clear indicators, some markers that show other people that we're not like everyone else, right? But that we're like Jesus. We're like Jesus and like him in the way that he conducted himself, right? He's loving, he's kind, he's gracious, he's truthful, he's generous, and he's humble. But there are times that we can forget that. There are times that we can sort of act in the flesh, right? Because we see it as, oh, nah, they talk like that about my family. I'm gonna deal with this. But today we're going to look at some of these qualities or some of these indicators of spiritual family that Paul lays out for us in Romans 12. And that's what Helen read to us a little bit earlier. And so I'm just going to focus on three qualities. But in that passage, there's a whole lot more. So I encourage you, read Romans 12 for yourself. Okay. And so the first quality that we see is brotherly love. Everyone say brotherly love. In verse 9 of our passage today, let love be genuine. Let love be genuine. Let it be real. Don't fake it. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Hate or detest that which is evil, right? But hold tightly onto what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. How do we tell the difference between what is good and what is evil? Good aligns with the character and nature of God. Evil does not. Biblical community is centered on love. It's built on love. And this love is to be the thing that identifies us. It's the clear marker that says that we are a follower of Jesus, that I am a Christian. Jesus says in John 13:35, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. The way that we love people will be the proof, will show others, the rest of the world, that we are different, that we are following Jesus, that we're not like everyone else. So when we see, when we hear, when we know that there are people around us that are struggling, maybe in this new environment, maybe they've come from another nation and they've planted themselves here. Maybe they're struggling to find community. Maybe they're feeling lonely, isolated. Maybe they're struggling to find a place where they can belong and feel like that they're part of something. What is our response going to be? What are we going to do about that? Brotherly love will come alongside them. Brotherly love will walk with them through whatever it is that they're walking through. The challenges, the struggles, the isolation, whatever it is that they are struggling with. In that moment, brotherly love comes around and stands with them. Brotherly love may not know the exact words to say, but brotherly love is present, is there. You may be just a shoulder to cry on. You may be someone just to hug, just to be there, just to be present. Brotherly love encourages them, walks with them. That is love in action. That is real love. That is this genuine love. But we can't genuinely love others unless we ourselves have experienced for ourselves what that genuine love is like from God, right? We have to know what it is. We have to have tasted and experienced it ourselves to be able to pour that out into others. Because if we haven't tasted that for ourselves, then what are we pouring that out of? Our own experience, our own standards, our own ideas of stuff. God's way of loving us is mind-blowing. It's way above anything else that we could ever imagine. But God gives it to us. It's there for us to experience. It's there for us to lean into and walk with Him. Another thing about God's love is that it casts out all fear. Fear which causes division. Fear which causes arguments. Fear which causes doubt. God's love can distinguish fear. In 1 John 4, chapter 4, verses 7 to 9 and 18 to 19, I love this, right? It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God." We could just stop right there, right? We could just stop right there and think this through. Loving one another comes from the love of God for us. We could sit in that and just dwell on that and meditate on that and ask God, show me this love that you have for me. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love God or does not love does not know God. Because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. There's the gospel there. God sending His love because He loved us so much, He sent His Son Jesus. Verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because He first loved us. Love comes from God. He is love. And He first loved each and every one of us. Right where we were. Right where we are. How can we be representations of God's love that He's already shown us, that we have experienced for ourselves? How can we put this love into action with the people that God has placed around us? Maybe it may look like walking with a work colleague that's going through, I don't know, a financial difficulty, or maybe they're walking through a separation, right? How might God be positioning you to be that expression of his love in that situation? How might God want to use you to reflect his love? Maybe for students in here, for our high school students. How might God want to use you in your work, in your class, around your friends? Maybe you have a friend that is struggling with some issues in their home, some things in their home. Maybe they're struggling with maybe identity. Or maybe it's relationships with their siblings, with their parents. How might God want to use you to bring the love and wisdom of God into that situation? Because God can use you in that situation too. It's not just for the adults. God can speak to you as well, young people. How might God be positioning you to be that expression of his love in whatever situation that you're in? The next quality is generosity. In verse 13, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Generosity and hospitality. And so generosity doesn't come easily to everyone, okay? For some of us, it may be easy to be generous. But for others, it may be difficult. The difficulty of that generosity could be linked to something that they've experienced, something that they've, you know, gone through in their life. Maybe it was a traumatic experience that they went through. Maybe it could have been a fear of not having enough. Maybe they grew up in a family where they had to stretch everything, right? Food, clothes, money, resources, everything was a stretch. And so that could affect how this person sees and responds to generosity. But we don't see that by looking at them on the outer. We see them right where they are, right how they are today. And we may look at them and think, oh, bit of a Scrooge. We don't know where they've been. We don't know their journey. We don't know what their heart's been through. In Acts 2, we see an example of the early church coming out and operating in this, the spirit of sharing, the spirit of generosity, right? They fellowshiped together. The early church, they fellowshiped together. They met in homes. They ate together. They prayed together. They shared resources among each other. There was this great sense of generosity in the early church. But there were some that had plans, other plans. And they tried to lie their way out. There's this couple called Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5. They try to keep a little bit for themselves. And what happened to them is that they were struck down with death. They died. They died right there. So Paul wrote about the danger of this in Philippians 2:3. He says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. This is like this is a warning to us, right? Paul's warning us here of the aspect of selfishness that can be in all of us. Selfishness can be in all of us. Seriously. You know, maybe some of us have here thought, like, you know, maybe at some point, right? That I want a new job. I want a new job because I want a change of scenery. I want a change of scenery. But the real motivation could be that you want more money. You want to buy more things so that you can impress those friends that are not really your friends and so that they can talk about you and say, yeah, he's got it all together. That could be the real motivation. That could be the real desire within us. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. Think about the fall of humanity back in the book of Genesis. Chapter 3, right? We see Eve, and she's seen the fruit. And when she looked at it, it looked good. It looked delicious. It looked yummy, right? But there was also the attraction of being like God. She would get the wisdom to be like God. That's selfish ambition. I want to be the man. I want to make the shots. I want to call the shots. I want to be the boss. That can have a root in selfish ambition too. And so Paul is telling us here, do nothing. Stay clear of this. Don't go down this path. Because it will lead us down a self-centered path of destruction. But then Paul gives us a way to combat these desires, and he says, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Thinking, valuing others above ourselves. A humble heart towards others can keep us away from selfish ambitions. Generosity in the spiritual family thinks about how their possessions, their resources can be used to help the community as a whole, to help their brothers and their sisters in Christ. Romans 12:13, contribute to the needs of the saints, to seek and show hospitality. You know, I've seen this in our own church here. I've seen examples of people contributing to our church here, to the work that we're doing here, where people have brought stuff, people have brought resources, people have brought baking. I love baking, by the way. But, you know, they've brought stuff. They've just done stuff because they've seen a need. They've used what's in their hands, and they've just brought it. They haven't been asked to. They just used their initiative, and they've just come. They've brought this. This is to help in the work that we're doing here. This is to help in what we are called to do here in Logan. How can you contribute to the needs of the saints? How can you contribute to the work that we've been called here in Logan? What resources can you provide that can support the work that we are doing together, that we, us, all of us are doing here? Maybe it looks like you serving on Sundays, right? We have kids' church teachers, we have our guest services, we have our tech and media, our worship team. There's opportunities for you to serve in those ways. Maybe it's by providing financial support, right? Maybe it's by meeting up with someone and walking with someone through discipleship, being on the journey with them. Or maybe it's inviting people into your home or into the community spaces that you're involved with. How can we contribute? Oh my gosh. How will you contribute to the work that we are doing here in Logan? You yourself. What is God maybe speaking to you in that sense? What tangible ways is God speaking to you to reflect His love to those around you and serve in the work that we are doing together? That is what biblical community generously can look like. And the final quality I want to highlight for us is unity. Unity. In verse 15, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. The Bible tells us that we are to live in unity. And unity doesn't always mean that, that we discourage diversity or the use of someone's unique gifts. It means accepting people the way that God has uniquely and wonderfully made them to be. Right? Accepting them for right where they are. Just as who they are, right there and then. Seeing them as a loved child of God, seeing them as a daughter or son of God. But unity doesn't always mean that we'll always have the same opinions, right? You know, there are these Queensland supporters in here, and then there's New South Wales supporters in here. So we have to love each other because that's the kingdom of God, all right? But we won't always agree on stuff, and that's okay too, okay? As long as we agree on this, that we're all called here to go out and make disciples in our community, that we're all called to go out into our community and tell people about Jesus and represent Jesus in our communities. As long as we're all on the same page of that, then I love you as a Queenslander, okay? Through brotherly love, through generosity, through unity, and courageous conversations, we can navigate through a lot of the challenges that we will come up against. But we've got to be able to see it. We've got to position ourselves. We've got to posture ourselves in a way that we don't want to judge people straight off the bat. We don't want to judge people just because of the way they dress or the way they look. We want to ask God, God, guide my thoughts. Guide my heart, Lord God, to see them as your child, as your son, as your daughter. Help me to love them right where they are, Lord God. What is it that you're wanting me to speak into them, to encourage them? So in Philippians 2:2, Paul says this, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Paul here is compelling us to be united. To be united, to be of one mind, to be united in love, to live in one accord. Because that's Christ's example for us, unity. In the early church, there have been lots of disagreements as it grew, because this was a new thing for the church. And so lots of issues were rising up, like how to do things and stuff like that. And so there's going to be issues when we're starting new things, right? So there needs to be a grace upon that as well, right? A grace upon starting these new things. But Paul and other writers throughout the Bible, they encourage us, and they continue to encourage us, even today through the Word of God, that we are to remember that we've been united in Christ, that we are to be in harmony with each other, that we're to settle arguments peacefully. In Romans 12, verse 18, it says this, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Right? It is on us to choose peace. It's on us to choose to be peaceable with the people around us. We got to make the choice in that. Us as individuals. And at times it may mean that we need to ask for forgiveness. At times it may mean that we have to hold our tongue. Because if we were just to let out what our emotions are firing up in us, oh my gosh, we might start a fire. Seriously, right? At other times, it may mean that we are to communicate in a loving and gracious way as the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding us in those moments. Because we are sinful people, living in unity is not easy. We must ask God. We must ask the Holy Spirit to help us, to guide us. All of us, as we're walking through this, how do we live in harmony with each other? How do we live in brotherly love with each other? How do we walk this out in unity? Spiritual family is centered on God's love. God's love. Love is to be the main identifying characteristic for Christians. And this love comes from God because God first loved us. Imagine in our spiritual family, where we show this brotherly love with the help and guidance of the Holy Spirit. This type of love that brings people together, that brings generosity, that brings unity, that brings empathy, that brings humility, that brings forgiveness, that brings hospitality, that brings accountability. This is what a generous, united, brotherly, biblical community looks like when love is in action, right? In biblical community or spiritual family, this is where we can come alongside each other and grow together and mature together in our faith. And hopefully if you're visiting here, you don't have a church. If you got a church, go to your own church. But if you're here and you're looking for a church and you're trying to decide whether Every Nation Logan is for you, I hope that you'll see this place as a place where you can grow in your personal relationship with Jesus. But that also that you'll see this place as a place where you can build family with spiritually, building spiritual family together, walking alongside someone that may not look like you, they may be different from you, but remember, we can learn stuff from each other. So I hope that you will see this as a place, a good place, good soil for you to be planted in, to be established in, and to learn and grow in your journey with Jesus. Biological family, our natural family is important to us, but so is our spiritual family. Our spiritual family as a whole, working, loving, meeting, going out together. All because God loved us so much and He gave His one and only Son, Jesus. Whenever people come together in spiritual family, it's an opportunity to show each other and the world that is watching us what the love of God looks like in action. Right? So I hope that each of us will lean into, will get connected, will make the effort to come around, to be part of, to walk in what we are called here to do in Every Nation. So here's our discussion question for today. I want you to have a discussion with the person next to you. How is God leading you to be part of biblical community or spiritual family that is a blessing and encouragement to others?
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.